Average Golfers Unite. This is Nick's Golf Guy Podcast Round 9, bringing you another avalanche of the Average Golf Guy Illumination, an injection to stimulate you for the game we all love and sometimes hate. So stick around. Good afternoon and welcome to Nick's Golf Guy Podcast Round 9, the podcast designed for average golfers like me. I'm Nick McLennan, coming to you from Norfolk, Virginia, right here on the edge of the Chesapeake Bay. I'm really excited about this round of Nick's Golf Guy podcast, so glad you could join me. We're going to be discussing golf news, what is happening on the PGA Tour, and a deep dive into the world of the average golfer in this week's The Drive. Question of the week on the back end, and we have plenty of average golfer things to discuss in between. So let's head on over to this week's Off the Tee. And in golf news this past week, Anna Davis, 16 years old, wins the Augusta National Women's Amateur in her debut entry, a great tournament for the Women's Average Golfers Tour. A lot of fun to watch. The golf world received shattering news this past week when it was revealed Phil Mickelson will not be playing in the Masters. As an average golfer, I really don't care. Mickelson has made some decisions regarding where he stands about the future of his professional golf, and I think as average golfers, we should all just move on. In other news, the upcoming Masters event, Tiger Woods has announced he will play this year. Very excited to hear that news from Augusta. Last week on the PGA Tour, J.J. Spahn wins his first PGA tournament, finishing 13 under for the win at the Valero Open in San Antonio, Texas, and earning his first bid to play in the upcoming Masters tournament in Augusta. Spahn pulls in $1.5 million of the $8 million purse. Congratulations, J.J. Spahn, from all of us average golfers. It was a fun win to watch. This week's tournament needs no introduction as we head on down to the Masters tournament in Augusta, Georgia. We're all very excited about this year's Masters. We have learned that Tiger will be playing this year. And as one of my fellow average golfers like to say, golf season doesn't really start until the Masters. And Nick's Golf Guy podcast agrees. I cannot wait to see who will prevail in professionals golf's most coveted trophy, the green jacket. Purse is $11.5 million. Third place is going to pull in $793,500. Second place gets $1,253,500. And the green jacket winner will take home $2,070,000. Speaking of money, top three money makers on the 2021-22 season thus far, the man from Japan, Hideki Matsuyama, has pulled in $4,028,633. Cameron Smith comes in at number two with $5,797,375. And the number one moneymaker in the land thus far is Scottie Scheffler with $7,398,014. Congratulations, guys. Keep it up. Top three golfers in the land thus far this year. Number three, Colin Morikawa. Number two, the Spaniard, Jon Rahm. And the number one golfer ranked in the world is the 25-year-old Texan Scottie Scheffler. That's going to be it for this week's Off the Tee. Now let's head on over to this week's The Drive. And on this week's Drive this week, we are at Honey Bee Golf Course in Virginia Beach for a golf course review here on Round 9 of Nick's Golf Guy Podcast. Just played around here, and if you're looking to play around in Virginia Beach, Honey Bee is one of my favorite golf courses in the coastal Virginia area. I do want to thank Lori Cox Spangle, events manager at Star Spangle Catering Incorporated, for making this seamless course review. If you are planning a golf outing in the Virginia Beach area, contact Lori at Star Spangle Catering and she will be glad to help you with planning your next event. So thank you very much to all the management, staff, and crew here at Honey Bee for making this possible. Now on to my course review. Honey Bee Golf Course is a public course, 18 holes, par 70 with Bermuda grass. Greens are bent, terrain is gently rolling. Architect is Reese Jones, and the year it opened was 1988. Now let's start off with the highlighted holes of the front nine at Honey Bee Golf Course. onto the first challenging hole of the front nine at Honeybee, in my opinion, my humble average golfer guy opinion, is going to be hole three, par four. And there's water to the right, and a lot of it. It's a big lake all the way from the tee box all the way down to the front of the green. And you have to make a decision. First, you have to take your drive. I would recommend a three wood or your driver just to get it out there. And then you have to bring your short game in and loft up over the water onto the green. That is the green, which is probably the most challenging on the course. So took a penalty shot on this one and finished with a seven on the hole. Very difficult shot if you're at Honeybee on the hole three, par four. Under the hole seven, it's a long par five tee shot, having two options to go straight off the tee and try to land it out in the fairway past a bunker to your right, or if you want to really kind of challenge yourself, knock it up over the trees to your right and land it a little further onto the fairway from there. I had a great tee shot on this one. I had a fantastic second shot with my three wood. Ended up ready to par the hole with a 6-inch putt and skirted it. Finished with a bogey, but I was very happy with my play on this hole seven, long par five on the front nine at Honeybee. And then on to hole eight. It's a water shot right after the long par five, about 130 yards. Again, mental challenge of the water right in front of you. As every average golfer knows, it's a challenge. I got a good solid hit off the tee box, landed just to the left of the green and shy of the left-sided bunker. So very happy with that. Chipped it on and ended up bogeying that hole as well. So those are the three top challenges of the front nine here at Honeybee, in my average golf guy opinion. And if you are planning to play Honeybee, keep those three holes in mind while you're swinging on the front nine. And on to the back nine here in Honeybee, and the challenges that persisted with me today. It didn't get any better. Holes 15 through 18 are known as the Beehive, couple of the hardest holes on the course, and as my score shows today, it is the truth. Hole number 15 of the Beehive here at Honeybee is a dogleg left par 4 with challenging hills to the left of the fairway. This hole brings a lot of challenge to the average golf guy game, as your drive will dictate the remainder of the hole. Today I did not do well, as I ended up in the greenside bunker and struggled finishing strong, as I posted a triple bogey on this one. Very difficult 15th for me today, and it did not get any better as the round wound down. And on to the 17th hole of the Beehive here at Honeybee Golf Course. It's another dogleg left with a tee shot over the water. You want to make sure you have the right club selected for your drive, as if you hit it too long, you can end up in a fairway bunker or over the bunkers into a tree line. I did neither, as I pulled it too far left and ended up in the drink. With the penalty shot taken, I was able to hit my third shot just to the left of the green, chipped on and two putted for a double bogey. And on to the infamous 18 here at Honeybee Golf Course. That brings every challenge to a golf hole that can be imagined. It's important to get your drive out as far as possible, as your second shot for 99% of average golfers is going to need to hit up on for your approach shot, which is over the water and a green that is surrounded by bunkers. I hit my drive far left just to the fringe just off the fairway, and my second shot I shot laid up, hit a tree, and dropped straight down. As I went for my third shot, I knocked it in the drink, dropped four, hit five with my seven iron over the water onto the back of the green, and then I two putted for a double bogey. The infamous 18 at Honeybee is quite the challenge for every golfer. And it is something to look forward to or not, depending on your excitement for water shots and avoiding bunkers around the green. So that's going to be it for my golf round review here at Honey Bee Golf Course in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Again, a lot of challenge, no matter what level golfer you are. I highly recommend it. And you're in the coastal area of Virginia Beach, Virginia. Stop on by Honey Bee. Make sure it is part of your golf outing plans. Now, let's head on over to this week's Round 9, the short game. And on this week's short game, we're going to be discussing our golf language lesson. This is to help all my fellow average golfers bolster their golf language vocabulary. I got three new words for you this week. First word is going to be bite. A bite is the backspin imparted on the ball that makes the ball stop dead, or almost so, with little or no roll. Bite. Next is going to be the word halved. Halved is when a match is played without a decision. A hole is halved when both sides play it to the same number of strokes. Each side is credited with a half. And the third word of our golf language lesson this week is going to be provisional ball. The playing of a second ball from the same place as the first because the player is unsure of what may have happened to the first ball, i.e. it may be lost or out of bounds. Every average golfer has hit a provisional ball. Those are our top three words for our golf language lesson today. Add these three words, my fellow average golfers, to your vocabulary to make you a better average golfer. And on to our golf apparel review this week, my fellow average golfers. I learned something new about golf balls and the complexity of how they are made. By definition, a golf ball is a custom-made product for a variety of golf levels. Dimples add spin and wind resistance. The resin or rubber cover creates distance or control, while the core and compression are designed in each ball for every golfer, from our tour professional to novice golfer. Now, knowing the definition is one thing, but there are four different types of golf balls out there for you to choose from based on your skill level or what you're trying to achieve with your game. Let's take a look at these different choices for the average golfers to up their game with. I found the website called letsgolfbetter.com in my research. I'll be reading from it, so does a really good job of explaining the tech and purpose of each ball. First is a two-piece golf ball. Two-piece golf balls are the most common choice of the majority of golf players today. They allow better shot distance, a firmer feel, and superior durability. As a result, they're also the preferred golf ball of high handicappers, players with slow swing speeds, and beginners. These models allow more distance by reducing the slice and hook off the tee through a solid core that contains acrylate and high-energy resin. Also of note is their covering that's made of cerulean or similar material. The two-piece construction also increases the amount of energy that the club can transfer to the ball. It, in turn, powers the shots and propels the ball forward for greater distance. However, compared to the softer feel options, they are not as easy to control and do not spin as much. That's why if you're looking to maximize your short game, you should probably look elsewhere. Next is a three-piece golf ball. Three-piece golf balls provide the excellent combination of distance and feel, which explains their appeal to seasoned players. Even the most popular balls on the PGA and European tours fall under this category. You can't find a better stamp of approval than being the ball type of choice of the best players in the world. The additional layer they have over their two-piece counterparts provide a softer feel, but also allows more spin, while they sacrificed a great deal of distance to less complex golf ball types before recent advances in technology help minimize that. The only drawback, especially for beginners and high handicappers, is the higher cost of these three-piece golf balls. Then on to the four-piece golf ball. The characteristics that set four-piece golf balls apart from three-piece models are still being disputed. Many golf enthusiasts, including professionals, appear skeptical towards the additional layer of this golf ball if it really makes a significant difference. Although, in theory, four-piece models features a mechanism called spin separation, in which the extra layers are only activated when the player attains a fast enough swing speed. The science behind this is complicated, but the main point is that the driver shots should spin less, while short irons should spin more, providing players with best of both worlds in terms of performance. And then finally, we have our five-piece golf balls. If you thought four-piece balls were overkill, you've be even less impressed by their more intricate five-piece counterparts, the TaylorMade TP5, which was also the first five-piece product to hit the market in 2009 as a prototypical five-layer ball. Basically, it features the exact mechanism before the four. Extra layers equal more spin separation and allow compression to be staggered by maximum performance. The latest version of the TP5 boasts the compression core that is 28% less compressed than its predecessor, resulting in less spin with the driver and more distance. Meanwhile, the ultra-soft urethane covering guarantees that the ball remains spinny and responsive on the short shots. Ultimately, it'll be up to you to decide whether the difference between the four-piece and five-piece model compared to the model traditional three-piece offerings is really substantial. And that's going to be it for the short game. Hope you learned something new to research yourself for your to help your average golfer game. Now, let's head on over to this week's The Putt. And on this week's The Putt, I got to bring it up because it happened to me this week quite often on my round is bunkers and water hazards. The bunkers are workable because you can hit out of them. Water hazards are not workable because you cannot hit out of them. So my biggest mental challenge in my average golf game is going to be the water hazard. Some reason, if there's water in front of me, I automatically know my ball is going to go in. I don't know why, but that's just how my golf swing goes. The question to you, my fellow average golfer, is, what is more mentally challenging to you in your average golf game? Bunkers or water hazards? And why? Name in town, golfguynick757@gmail.com, golfguynick757@gmail.com. Let me know what you think, and what are you doing to fix it? And that's going to be it for round 9 of Nick's Golf Guy Podcast. I want to thank you for listening. I will be back with round 10 next week, Nick's Golf Guy Podcast, a podcast for average golfers like me. Until then, my fellow average golfers, tee times, tee offs, and better scores for a happy average golfer life.